WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In her new book, Where the Girls Are, media theorist Susan J. Douglas looks at TV characters like Mary Richards and Aunt Bee, singers like Joan Baez and the Dixie Cups, magazines like Seventeen and movies like Cinderella, to discuss the mass media's treatment of women over the past 40 years. Critic Maureen Corrigan says she hasn't had this much fun reading about pop culture icons since her subscription to Tiger Beat expired.
When I came upon these two sentences in Susan J. Douglas's new book, Where the Girls Are, I knew for sure I was in the company of a very wise pop culture guide. Douglas writes, "It's not embarrassing, after all these years, to admit that Audrey Hepburn's Holly Golightly had a strong impact on you when you were young. But it takes a certain amount of guts to admit you bonded on some primal, coursing level with Cricket Blake. Now, I could barely turn a TV dial in 1959, but I remember Cricket. She was a dizzy, blonde nightclub singer played by Connie Stevens on the detective show Hawaiian Eye. Cricket is not the kind of character most feminist media theorists want to rescue. But Douglas insists baby boomer women need to reclaim all their pop culture past, the good, the bad, and the bouncy. Sometimes these kinds of whirlwind excursions into pop history can be educational but arid. Douglas, however, is a snappy, opinionated writer. For instance, she launches into a brilliant reading of the tensions between feminism and anti-feminism contained within that quintessential bionic bimbo show, Charlie's Angels. But before she does this, Douglas pleads to her skeptical readers, "Try to hold your nose and bear with me." Holding your nose while you're laughing or groaning is tough to do, but the effort is worth it. Where the Girls Are deftly explores how the mass media has made many of us women what we are today, cultural schizophrenics who rebel against yet submit to the prevailing images of what a desirable woman should be. Because Douglas's book encompasses tons of material, I can only channel surf through some of its highlights. In a chapter entitled, Why the Shirelles Mattered, Douglas demonstrates how those much-ridiculed girl groups of the 1950s and 60s sang about what most girls couldn't say, that is, their contradictory feelings about their own sexuality. We get the erotic spectrum here, everything from the Ronettes' aggressive Be My Baby to the doormat lyrics of Chains sung by the Cookies. In a later section, Douglas defends teenage TV icons like Gidget and Patty Duke, saying their nauseating perkiness was a useful strategy for girls who wanted to take an active role in the world, yet still appeal to men. And in her final chapter on present-day mixed media messages, Douglas considers how cosmetic ads and exercise programs like Buns of Steel have co-opted the language of women's liberation. Where the Girls Are is shaped by Douglas's personal memories of growing up female with pop culture. So despite its voluminousness, it does leave out some of my favorite formative years shows, like Dark Shadows and Here Come the Brides. But that's a minor quibble. Many women today have ambivalent attitudes towards feminism. Susan J. Douglas does a great job of excavating the origins of this ambivalence in the twisted, trash heap images of flying nuns, secret agents, and Watusi dancing beach bunnies.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Where the Girls Are by Susan J. Douglas.